Hey There Begonia, habt ihr jetzt gehört. Und ja, ihr seid hier bei Hellfire Radio. Und die Band habe ich natürlich nicht ohne Grund gespielt. Wenn ihr vielleicht das letzte Mal zugehört habt, die Band habe ich treffen dürfen. Pairs, wer es nicht mitbekommen hat, die waren zusammen mit Sleeping With Sirens und mit Rise Against zusammen auf Tour. Und quasi einen Tag, bevor sie eben die große Düsseldorfer Halle da gespielt haben, vor 6000 Menschen, haben sie einen Geheimgig gespielt. Wir haben davon Wind bekommen und haben natürlich direkt mal die Band angefragt, dass, weil Pairs ist eine Band, die ist bei Fat Records unter Vertrag, der auch NoFX hier, Mastermind, Fat Mike ist ja der Chef von dem Plattenlabel, machen sehr guten Punkrock und Pairs ist ebenso eine der neuen Bands, die mit unter hier am Start sind und ja, umso cooler auf jeden Fall, dass wir sie dann hier entsprechend bekommen haben, nämlich viel Spaß mit Pairs im Interview.
Hello everyone, we've got Zach from Pairs here.
So. Hi there, hi.
So, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I've been better. I'm sick. I've been on tour for 11 weeks almost, though. So, you know, this is the second cold I've had on this whole thing. But yeah, I've been feeling a little better, but I'm excited about the show.
Yeah, and it's not an official show, is it?
No. The shows, we've played a handful of headliners on this tour, but they've all kind of been secret unofficial shows because of, the Rise Against tour. Yeah.
So in which location did you play already? Not with Rise Against, but...
Oh, alone? I know we did a secret Frankfurt show, and we did... I don't know. I don't remember. It's hard to keep the cities and dates together.
But you had a secret Frankfurt show also on that day or day before?
A couple days before. And it was very, very hush-hush. There weren't many people there because it was a well-kept secret. So, you know.
How did it look like, that location? Was it just a small room? Or?
Yeah, just a tiny, tiny room. It was the smallest show we've played in a long time, actually.
And it's actually weird that the room is empty by playing Pairs. So.
Yeah. Well, actually, there were very, very few people there, but the room was so small that it didn't feel empty. We were like, I'm pretty sure this place is like an 8-person capacity venue. So, perfect.
And it looks like you're just having fun and playing secret shows because...
Yeah. Yeah, just for fun. I mean, everything is for fun at the end of the day, you know. The big shows are, it's an experience, you know. We wanted to experience that, the like large arena shows. It's maybe the only time we ever get to do something like this, you know. Man, it's bizarre for us. It's weird.
Yeah, it looks like back to the roots.
Yeah. So, I mean... Definitely, you know, back to the small rooms is like, okay, all right, I understand this.
So, what's now you're playing as a Rise Against opening band or with a co-headliner, I would say, mm-hmm. with Rise Against. And tomorrow in Düsseldorf, 8,000 people playing, how's that for you?
It's, you know, what's strange is it hasn't made me nervous at all. I got nervous the first time we played for a couple thousand people when we were like when we toured with NoFX. Every night was like a couple thousand people in the States, you know, and that was scary for me at the time because it was such a big leap from the kind of shows we'd done on our own. But somehow I think I'm just used to making leaps like that now because, I mean, we played to 8,500 yesterday, and it just feels like another show.
Do you still see people in the crowd, in such a big crowd, or is it just like a big wave?
It you can still see people, but it's funny, you know. I mean, it just goes on for as far as I can see from the stage, you know, especially because of the lights. What's funny too is like we're, you know, the first band of three bands, and so the people at the very front aren't there for us; they're there for the bands playing. So if I look back, always like weirdly too far back, there's a mosh pit during our set of like the Pairs fans in the back, but not in the front.
And it's also a very different lineup because, you know, Sleeping With Sirens I just see as a teeny band, and Rise Against are just the old school rockers.
Yeah, it's a wild hodgepodge, you know. It's a misfit collection of bands. I Yeah, it's funny. They're like, girls cry when they meet Kellen from Sleeping with Tyrants. They cry. I've like watched girls like sobbing, like young girls, you know, like 13 to 16 year old girls sobbing. There was this one girl that was crying, and I walked up to her and I was like, "Hey, are you crying because you met Kellen?" And she said, "Yes." And I was like, "Can I take a picture with you?" So I took a picture of this girl just covered in tears and me just smiling. Yeah, it's pretty funny.
It's fun. Yeah, and how's if Zach is going out, do the teenies cry?
No. Rise Against is their crowd is less of the, like, there's less of that. They're not like, you know, I don't think they're I don't think they're anybody's crushes. It's like they're heroes to these people, you know? So, I mean, there isn't the crying and like, oh.
Maybe but, their dads. The crowd grew older.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot. I mean, like, obviously, it's mostly Rise Against fans. But, yeah, it's different. It's not the screaming, crying, you know, to meet them. It's just, like, more, like, fans that I'm used to seeing.
But let's see if you can, gain some new fans off the shows. And now you're here with also a new split, which is right out now with another band, Direct Hit. So how did you get the idea of recording together?
We have been talking about doing a split together for a couple of years. We did one of our first tours with them. And then fast forward a couple years, both of us had signed to Fat. And we've had this idea long before either of us had signed to Fat. So we were like, I think, you know, now we have to do it. It's time. We can release it on our label. And we finally did it. It was really interesting. I feel like most splits are just a bunch of leftover songs by each band and they just kind of throw it. But we wrote the whole thing knowing that the other band was writing something for it too. So it was like a collaborative effort. I think we both kind of leaned into each other on that record.
For me, it's just like two bands recording one EP and just put it together on one side of the LP.
So sure, yeah.
I just was a bit surprised when I saw your split video because it's more like a very piece of art. Your old videos was just like playing in the rehearsal space or touring, and now you have a very good produced music video. So.
Yeah, that's money. That's what that is. Yeah, I don't know. We finally made a real music video. You know, the last time we had money for a music video, we spent every cent of the money that we had blowing up our van and then just filmed. Like, we were just like, we don't even know what to do for the rest of the music video. This doesn't matter. We just wanted to blow up a car.
On the Green Star Radio?
Yeah.
This was my other question. Was that really your tour van or just a bought van?
That was our tour van. We toured in that van for a couple of years. It's a funny thing, huh? Funny little van.
I don't know. I couldn't blow up your van where you spent half of your life.
Because that's actually why we wanted to blow it up. You get pretty sick of it, you know? I mean, we toured pretty hard those first couple of years, and we were sick of being in that fucking van. So it felt really good to blow it up, you know? It felt great. Watch it. That was one of the coolest things I've ever seen, is in person, just watching that van explode.
Yeah.
So cool.
But if I see that van, I think it hasn't got bigger. Mm-hmm. It's just a small space. It's not like the big Rise Against tour bus.
No. But I honestly, like, I don't think I was talking about this van, and I was like, this is kind of perfect. I wouldn't ever want anything more than this. Like, the Rise, I mean, obviously it would be awesome to be able to travel on a bus like one of those big vans, but it's not really necessary. This feels great. Like, riding in, like, a van with just the rows, after several weeks, that's like, that gets a little taxing. It's rough, but this is perfect. I wish I could just get one of these. I mean, you know, it's rented, you know.
Yeah.
because I see some DVDs. You had a post just right there. You were offering guest list names for DVDs or something else.
Yeah, that was Brian's thing. I think it was DVDs or weed. It was one or the other, but I don't know. I don't know what ended up happening with that. Hopefully, people bring us DVDs and weed. Yeah. I don't smoke weed, but they do.
And let's get back to your EP, because I'm just interested, how did you record it? Was it just like playing live on tape?
Which record? The Split?
The Split, yeah.
No. It's always drums first, then guitar, then bass, and then vocals. I actually wasn't there when they recorded all the music, so I don't even know how that really went, you know. I came to record vocals, and then I played some overdub stuff, like a couple of little guitar parts and keyboard parts and stuff. But I would assume they recorded it in that order. We don't track live.
Yeah. Because to me it really sounds like you just put all the energy in there and not thinking about the rhythm.
Right. That's really what's great about being able to work in a really good studio is like you can get takes like that, you know. I think the better the studio is, the more comfortable it is to work in, the more energy it's going to sound like there is on the recording, you know, because you can actually focus on the energy and instead of trying to make half good equipment be good enough, you know.
Makes sense. And what I really liked on Green Star is that you have that very loud parts, and then someone's playing a piano, and mm-hmm. you also had the piano in here on the Split on Arjus Angel. Mm-hmm. So why did you have the idea on putting a piano on punk rock?
I don't know. I've always liked piano music, and I play, you know. So it just seemed like, you know, when you're making a record, one would hope that instead of like, we weren't like, let's make a punk record. We just started throwing all of our ideas into the pot, and the piano just went in there too, you know, everything. Use it all.
How do you reproduce it live?
Oh, we don't. Maybe someday. We've talked about it, but I'm also like not that good at piano, you know? I mean, like, I'm okay, but the takes that you're listening to on the album are like take number 400,003, you know? It takes me plenty of takes to get it, whatever, you know, I'm playing right.
But that's good if you have time to record.
So. Yeah. On the records, we'll keep putting piano. I don't know about live, though. Might be a disaster.
You're also signed with Fat Records, so what opportunities did you get after that deal? Do you have more money or more tours?
Well, I mean, they support us monetarily, but obviously this isn't, you know, first of all, we don't make them much money because we're kind of a smaller band, you know, and also it's just not the 90s anymore. So the record industry is like financially everybody's tighter, but they support us, you know, anytime we've ever needed money, they've helped us out. But we pay, you know, you pay them back. That's it's always been like that. But really the thing that comes from it is just, I guess it's really great to have such a resource in like, in a way that they, I mean, like it is like a family. That's not like, it's like something that a lot of people say, and I mean, it sounds like bullshit, but it's not. I mean, like, they really are looking out for you. You know, they care. And, there have been, you know, there are other labels that'll throw tons of money at you, and then, but that's the only thing that you'll ever get from them, you know? Fat Records, they care about their artists, you know? And that's unique and valuable.
So how much freedom did they get you? I just heard that your human movement would have had another title.
Oh yeah, I mean no, they give us complete freedom. If we really wanted to call it A Journey Through Diaper Space, we could have. But Aaron was just like, you can't call the record that. That's ridiculous. And so we switched it, you know. But if we really wanted to, that's the only time that I think that they've ever said no. They've definitely told us other ideas were bad too, but only because they actually were bad. This is the first time I think they were wrong. Aaron, this is the first time you were wrong. She'll never listen to this. That was the first time she was wrong about something, though. It should have been called A Journey Through Diaper Space. That's really funny. Yeah. Oh, well.
But human movement is really about shitting.
Yes. It's a shit reference. That's direct hit, guys. I don't. That belongs to them.
But it's not about split content, right?
No. I don't think I think the record's actually quite good. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, and it's also, I just recall that I think you're also singing about New Orleans and gentrification.
Yes. Yeah, New Orleans is not the city it used to be. And I feel like gentrification is kind of par for the course in cultural hubs like that. You know, it happens. It's something that has always happened. And I think neighborhoods are constantly in flux in that way too. Like low-income neighborhoods become high-income neighborhoods and vice versa over the span of decades, you know. But the thing that's unique about New Orleans and the thing that I guess the song is about is that in light of radical politics becoming hip, there are a lot of kids moving to New Orleans to, you know, essentially like adopt the identity of poverty, you know, they're gentrifying the neighborhoods, and in the same breath, they'll condemn gentrification and racism. And I think it's hypocritical. You know, they have no right to talk about any of it. They're the ones that are gentrifying the neighborhood, you know. Anyway.
So they're just living there and just want to be like the thug living in the poor neighborhood?
Yeah, yeah. It's white kids from modest backgrounds moving from up north into impoverished neighborhoods in New Orleans. And lo and behold, enough like friendly, safe white faces show up, the property value will rise, you know, and people who have lived there forever are getting boxed out and further marginalized. And it's fucked up. Yeah. It's fucked up.
I mean, they also have the hurricanes in here. So.
Yeah, and that's not helping anybody, you know. I mean, anytime something like that happens, low-income families are just displaced indefinitely. It's really sad. New Orleans, I don't really know what's going to happen in that city. I mean, it's below sea level, and I mean, the infrastructure is just a disaster. You know, I don't really know what's going to happen. Who knows? We'll see.
Yeah, and you also was it Donald Trump in your music video getting cupped up?
No,
that look alike.
It wasn't supposed to be Donald Trump, but if anybody wants to cut Donald Trump's face off, you know, that's their prerogative. It wasn't supposed to look like him, but he's a sign of the times, I suppose.
Yeah. So that's interesting to know, because I just saw a YouTube comment writing, "Oh, was that Donald Trump?" So, but it isn't Donald Trump. So who should that be in that music video?
It's just the character in the music video. I don't know. I don't think it's anything beyond that. It's a weird video, huh?
Yeah. So, and too hard for German audiences.
Is it, you think?
I just know from the computer games, if you have blood in it, totally.
Oh, really?
Censored, yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow.
You know, in America, we just know here in Germany, if you have any nipple out, any female nipple, then it will be censored. And in if America, you have total violence, then it's okay in America.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. No nipples, but all the blood.
Yeah.
And, all the blood.
And here, no blood and all the nipples.
All right. That's you know what? That could be the tagline for Germany. Yeah. Germany, no blood and all the nipples. I like that. You should try to sell that to the country.
All right. Yeah, that's a good final sentence. So thanks for the interview. Do you have something left to say?
Listen to our records. Come see us live. You know, you never know when you won't get the chance to do it again.
By the way, is a tour planned again?
No, there's nothing planned after this. So we're taking a lot of time off.
So just call your local booker and just tell them book Pierce here in Cologne.
Yep, start telling them you want us back. Because I think we went so many places so many times that everybody just thinks we're coming back. Nope, you're going to have to ask.
www.kölncampus.com. www.kölncampus.com.